Come on, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's so good when our young people share their hearts. Amen. And give us all something that we can all think about. Because no matter what, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your title is. You ain't going to be all that until Jesus comes back. Amen. That's the way God designed it, like it or not. All right, so you better like it. Amen. Come on, let us bless the Lord one more time. Amen. Amen. I don't plan to be before you long, but I do have a word from the Lord. Amen. And I think that all believers, I know sometimes that we get caught up with church and everything else, and sometimes we don't come through the doors asking God, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear what you got to say to me, God, and everything that we're doing. All right? So sometimes we just got to take the breaks off. I'm taking my shoes off, you don't mind, right? All right? And we just got to listen to the voice of the Lord. Turn to Matthew, everybody has their Bibles. How many got their Bibles? Let me see. How many got notebooks? All right? Because he said the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's definitely going to steal that word. All right? Matthew 5. I just want to read verses 27 through 30. All right? Don't nobody get upset about what the word is going to say. All right? And if you do, you just got to take it up with God anyway. Just say, ouch. You can't say amen, just say ouch. Pick your feet up, whatever you got to do. All right? Because it's either amen or ouch. All right? And this is Jesus speaking. He said that you have heard, I'm reading from the New King James. Everybody there? Say amen when you got it.
Amen.
Or hold on, preacher, what you want to do? All right. It says, you have heard that it was said of old that you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Just let us pray. Eternal Father, I thank you for this opportunity, O God, to speak to your people, O God. Father, I pray right now that you would hide me behind the cross, O God, that they may hear all of you and none of me, that they may see all of you and none of me, O God. Holy Spirit, just bring your conviction to whoever it may be, all of us, all right, Lord? And that, God, that we will leave this place better than what we come in, O God. Rip us open and put us back together. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Chapter 5 starts the Sermon on the Mountain. When Jesus started his earthly ministry, if you go back to chapter 4, verse 4:19, where Jesus called the disciples and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then if you read there at the end of chapter 4, excuse me, in verse 4:23, it says that Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing the sick of all kinds of diseases in the, among the people. And then his fame went out. And throughout all of Syria, they were brought to him the sick people who were afflicted in the various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. And a great multitude followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, which means 10 cities, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. And then it says, and seeing the multitude, he went up. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. All right, so we pick this up in the 27th birth. But understand, this isn't for everybody, because it said there was a great multitude that followed him. And one of the things you got to understand about Jesus, it's always going up. And God is always going to call you up. And Jesus is always going to call you up. He's not going to let you plane off somewhere. All right, it says that he went up and then he seated. And then when his disciples came to him, he taught them. And the church has to get back to the place of being a disciple. I don't want to be a Christian. I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to be one that follows him in every area of my life. And this thing Jesus was talking, because the Sermon on the Mountain, okay, when you read this, verses 5 to 7, the Sermon on the Mountain is God's character and the believer's conduct. That's what this is all about. Jesus was teaching his disciples, Okay, because you see, he took them to all the synagogues, which means there was church already going on. But he said, now that you are my disciples, now that you are my followers, you ain't going to do it like everybody else does it. And this, he prescribed the way exactly how he wanted done. And it ain't changed for none of us, because the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So whatever was written yesterday is true today, and it'll be true forevermore. All right? So he's talking about this thing about the law, okay, that you have heard from old. You have to remember, before Jesus started his earthly ministry, when he was 12 years old and went in the temple, for 18 years, where was he at? He was in the temple. Jesus went to church. It says Jesus went to church as it was his custom. All right? For 18 years, Jesus went to the church. He had the law, so he knew what Job said, that I haven't made a covenant with my eyes, that I will not look upon a young girl lustfully. Jesus heard that. He heard the law. He heard everything. But now it was his time, all right, for God to use him in a different way. So that's why Jesus came preaching. John came preaching what? The king repent. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus being Lord, he could have changed whatever he did, but no. He was in total obedience to the Father, the same thing. And it says that he went around preaching and saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You ain't always got to preach at people. You could just say it. See, because it's whether you preach it, whether you sing it, or whether you say it, you're going to get the same result. Amen? So Jesus is teaching his disciples here, because Jesus goes beyond the outward command to the reveal that the act is a result of an inward attitude of lust. All right? It starts inside of you. The outside manifestation is just a byproduct of what's already going on inside. All right? He said, whoever looks at a woman with lust in his eye. And he said, you don't look at a woman. You got eyes. You're going to look. Okay? And it goes for the ladies, too, looking at the fellas. All right? Well, it ain't just going to be all about us tonight, because you got some eyes that roam, too. All right? But he says, if you look upon them lustfully, all right? That's when your mind starts going places where it should not go. All right? It says that whoever looks characterizes the man or woman who glances is not checked by the holy restraint and results in impure lusting after a man or a woman. See, that's what happens when you allow the enemy to get your mind and take you to places where you ain't supposed to be. See, because the Holy Ghost is going to put you in check. But see, when you got the Holy Spirit operating in your life, you're going to look, but he's going to say, turn your head the other way. Keep it moving. Yeah, it look good and wiggle good and everything else. Yeah, he's fine, nice suit and everything. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. That's what Jesus was saying. Keep it moving, all right? Because the act would follow if the opportunity would occur. See, a lot of people say, I never would. Get in the right situation. Get in the right place and see if you would. See, you can always speak for your mouth, talk about what you will do and what you won't do, okay? Because, see, your private life is just an expression of your public life, all right? Because a lot of times we just like to praise the Lord, worship the Lord, and all that stuff, okay? But what do you do in your private life? What are you watching on your private life? Yeah. Listen, pornography is a multi-billion dollar business. Internet, okay? And one of the saddest things is Barner, who tracks Christians, says he loves that the hotels love when Christians come to town. Why? Because the pornography rate goes up 50%. Go on, Barner, associate. You can read it for yourself. I don't make stuff up. Why? Because we have to understand it's an inside thing. We're living in a world that is prone to hitting you every day. That's why Jesus said, if your eyes cause you to sin, if your hand causes you to sin. He didn't say look, sin. Because that's what he came for, to deal with the issue of sin. And the problem with the body of Christ is you think that just because you're a Christian that sin is not going to operate in your life. That's a lie. That's a lie. Unless you stay in this word and listen to the Holy Spirit and you stay around brothers and sisters that's going to tell you you got the wrong relationship, that's going to lead you down the wrong path, and listen. Instead of talking about, don't judge me. The Bible says judgment starts on the house of the Lord first. How God going to judge a world that don't know him if he ain't going to judge his church first? That's an impartial, unfair God. God going to judge you first. And that's what the church is for us to judge you when we see you going down the wrong path. And the title of this message is to cut it off. Cut it off, because that's what Jesus said. First of all, if you can recognize that that's your eye, he said, pluck it out. If you can recognize it's your hand, then cut it off. Now, it wasn't literally he wants you to do that, but he wants you to understand where the source of all this mess is coming from. It's what you're watching every day. It's what you're listening to every day. And it's what you're touching every day that's starting all this stuff. Because some of us be touching, I'll just leave that alone, okay? Jesus took his listeners' attention beyond the outward statement of the law into its real intention. Jesus was trying to get his listeners' attention off the physical and into the spiritual. That's why Paul wrote in Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, that you do not do the things that you wish. All right? The propensity is still going to be there. The temptation is still going to be there. But it's where you're going to walk. Okay? Now, evidently, adultery must have been a big issue in Jesus' day, because he's dealing with it here and he dealt with it in John when the woman caught in adultery. Okay? Now, in John, they tried to get Jesus with the law about a woman caught in adultery. And that's not, it says that anyone, you can't have adultery by yourself. As I always tried to figure that out, why they always brought the woman and where was the fella, all right? Because you can't do it by yourself, as long as I know. Well, you can, but that's a different issue, okay? But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Why? Because the Spirit guides you, all right? Okay? Jesus is saying that we should recognize the source of lust that comes from within, the mind, the heart, and not the physical organ. Your eye or your hand is not the source of your sin. Your heart is. That's the source of your sin. Matthew 15:9 says, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemy. It's like Prego. It's in there. Why? Because sin was once in there. And see, some of us are still operating in the residue from your past. All right? That's why you got to allow yourself to come up here and praise and worship. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart. Okay? Conviction is just convincing you that them thoughts that you got are the wrong thoughts. All right? Because everybody says, oh, I'm convicted. No, it's just the Holy Spirit trying to convince you. And that's what you want. I want you to convince me that the way is wrong so I can get on the right path. So that's why he says, cut it off. Why? Because you got the ability to cut it off. Because only you can recognize what's going on in your life. You know what's taking your eyes in the wrong place. You know what's taking your hands and placing them on the wrong place. And Mark talks about the foot. So some of us are even walking in the same place. Because Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He didn't talk about where you should walk. He said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of godly, or stands in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. They're the places we are not supposed to sit. Okay? We're not supposed to do that, not when we understand. See, these are kingdom principles. Jesus was changing everything. All right? People were losing power. People were losing women. People were losing all types of stuff. See, when Jesus shows up in your life, get ready to lose some stuff. Get ready to lose some family. Get ready to lose some friends. Get ready to lose a whole bunch of stuff when he comes in. But see, we have to learn to cut it off. That's what he says. If your right eye causes you to sin, cut it off and then cast it away. It's one thing to cut somebody off, but cast them away. Delete them from your phone. Ignore, hit the ignore button when they call. If you ain't got enough inside you, enough Holy Ghost and Word inside of you, okay, and you see it coming, if you have to shake, then shake. Oh, God, all right? But hit the ignore button. Cut it off. Cut it off. Because God has given you the power to cut it off. Because the great command in Matthew 2:22-37, it says, Jesus said that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. So you can't love God with all your mind if you are thinking impure thoughts. See, it's an all or nothing with God. God wants everything about you. He just don't want your body in church. And you know, everybody think just because I give my tithes, I'm straight with God. He said, or else, okay? He said, it's better for you that one member, it's more profitable that one member perish than your whole body be cast in hell. See, we forget about that, all right? Hell. And then, but, you know, because you always got these people, all these people talking about once saved, always saved. No, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. See, it's always a heart thing with God. It ain't lip service. Jesus said these people confess me with their lips, but they remove their hearts far from me. It's always a heart thing with God. It's always been a heart thing and always will be a heart thing. Even when it came to Saul, the king, he said, God don't see as man sees. He said, because you look on the outward appearance, but I'm reading the heart. I'm reading your heart. God is reading your heart. Every day he's reading your heart. That's why he said, you got the power to cast it off. That's Jesus was saying. I know what the deal is. He said, but if this is the issue, if it's your eye, realize it, get rid of it, and then cast it away. If it's your hands, do the same thing. Say, cut it off. Cut it off. Say, cut it off. Look at your neighbor, tell her, cut it off, cut him off, cut her off, cut it off, whatever has to be cut off, cut it off. If you're going to live for Jesus, cut it off. Why? Because he gave you the power to do it. See, listen to this. Okay, because that was the first command of everything, your heart, your mind, and your soul, because that's where it all starts, okay? Your emotions, your soul is your seat of emotions, your reasoning, your intellect, your motives for doing everything. That's why Hebrews says that the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than every two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and the spirit. And that's the only place, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that they put the soul before they put anything else. The soul and the spirit, because that's where the war's at. The war's in your soul, okay? With the spirit, because he said the spirit and the flesh are contrary to one. And the poor body got to go to whoever wins out, But he said it's sharper, living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, bursting the division of the soul and the spirit, joints and the mouth, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. So I don't care what you got going on. When you get up in this word, if your intention is to go the wrong way, this word is going to put you right back on the right path. That's why Jesus said, let those who have an ear to hear, let them hear. Okay? Because a lot of the stuff you're listening to, all that banging and that, you know, all that stuff you be doing, yeah, make you want to bang and, you know. Listen, God does not give a person a new body when we become saved. The body is the same, but the person is given a new disposition, which means you're given an act or a power of disposing. That's why he said, cut it off and throw it away. Because you got the power to get rid of it. But it just feels too good. She looks too good. He looks too good. He makes me laugh. That don't mean nothing if you're going to go to hell. I don't care how good you look. I ain't going to hell for you. There's two places I'm not going back. I was in prison once. I ain't going back there. And I ain't going to hell. Family, friends, I don't care. I ain't going. You ain't that fly. And you ain't all that, well, I'm going to go to hell. Now, if you want to go, you can go on your own, but I ain't going. All right? Because I'm going to listen to Jesus. All right? I ain't going. Why? Because he gave us the power to cast these things off. That's what we have to understand. You got the power because of the blood. You got the power because of the cross. When he went to that cross, he paid the penalty for us, and he gave us power over sin. John pointing them out and says, there's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin in the world. Now, if he took it away, why is it still in your life? If he took it, why is it still in your life? Only because you allow it to be there. See, the devil can't do nothing in your life unless you allow him to. He can't do nothing unless you allow him into your life. He says he gives you a new disposition, a new arrangement. Okay? A natural attitude. See, we become partakers of his divine nature. When you said yes to Jesus and the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, you are now a partaker of the divine nature. That old corrupt nature should be gone. That's why the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He didn't say if any man be in church. Because you can be in church all you want. Because there's a bunch of church folk that's going to bust hell wide open. Wide open. That's right. See, God alters the mainspring and he puts love in the place of lust. Did you hear that? You want me to say that again? God alters the mainspring. That's why Jesus said, if you believe in me, as the scripture says, out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water, right? So God alters the stream, the flow of the things that's coming in your life through the word, through the Holy Spirit, through church, through the leadership, through everything else that's going on. And he puts in love in place of the lust. What is lust? I'm glad you asked. It's the impatience of desire that I must have it now. That's what it is. That's what lust is all about. And we have a whole world of push button everything. ATM cards, money jump out. CD players, put them in, sit on the couch, click, 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 400 channels. I need it now. I need it now. Everything in this world is pulling on you. And you have to understand that. And that's what Jesus was teaching them in that day, that everything in that world is going to be pulling on you. But cut it off. Like he said, cut it off. Don't be impatient. See, love can wait 7 years, but lust can't wait 2 seconds. Okay? True love is going to wait. Right, Ashley? True love is going to wait. Right? 7 years, it says, that love can wait. And there's biblical examples. Esau and his mess of pottage is the picture of lust. He couldn't wait. He gave up his birthright. Okay? But Jacob, serving Rachel, for Rachel, was a picture of love. 7 years. You see the difference? You see the difference? See, the only thing Jesus had was the Old Testament. That's why he could preach. That's why Jesus was so bad. We just look at Jesus. Oh, Jesus just, my Lord, my Savior, and I'm going to heaven. You got to listen to Jesus was the baddest man on the planet. Because he would take this word in any type of way and make it right in your life. And that's what you have to understand. And that's the difference he was trying to tell them. I don't know if he told him like that, but I'm telling you now, but I can understand. And now hopefully you can understand. Because whenever you get to that thing where you can't wait for something, okay, then you know it's my flesh and I'm operating in lust because I need it now. There ain't nothing in this world you need now except for Jesus. You don't need nothing that bad. It's all going to burn up. We are so quick. I need that. I need that. I need this to make me complete. Colossians says you're already complete in him. So what do you need outside of this world? And I'm not saying don't want nice things. I'm not saying don't want a nice home, don't want a nice car, don't want, you know, nice things for your family. But what price are you going to pay for? What price are you going to pay for everything that's out here? Because the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain this whole world to lose his soul? It's all about your soul. And that's what the devil knows. He wants your soul. Care who you are. Because in these verses, lust is put to the lowest level, but remember, lust runs from the lowest basis of immorality right to the height of spiritual life. All right? Because right now he's talking about lust, the low spirit, okay? The lowest, the gutter, down up under there, all right? Because of this immorality thing, this adultery thing. But how about the pride and the arrogance and all the other stuff that you can't see? See, Jesus dealt with everything that was going on in people's lives. All right, because this is just a biblical principle, all right, that stems throughout the whole thing. Adultery, fornication, all that stuff is just a manifestation of that, okay? But pride, arrogance, unforgiveness, all that stuff we can't see, all right? We're going to hear about it when we hear the latest gossip that you was talking about us, okay? So even at the height of spiritual life, okay, that lust still runs in there. That I got an attitude because they talking about her too much. I got an attitude. They didn't put me on the program. They didn't call me for the worship team this week. Okay? All that stuff. Lusting to be in a place. You understand that? But cut it off. If you find yourself with your mouth talking about somebody, or if you find yourself wanting to be somewhere where you're not ready to go, cut it off. You have the power to cut it off. Put it back in your hands. See, because Jesus penetrates right straight down to the basis of our desires. And if you're ever going to stand where lust never strikes, it can only be because Jesus has altered his or her disposition. That's the only way you're going to stand. because God has altered your life. It's like having a suit, you know, that you got to get tailored. That's being altered. All right? Why? Because it don't fit. So you have to get it to fit you. Lust don't fit you. It never did fit you. It's all part of the fall. It never did fit you. But thank God for Jesus that you can cut it off. Cut it off. But let God alter your life, because that's the only way that you're going to stay where lust never strikes you. You know? Everybody says never say never. Oh, yeah. I say never because Peter says never. He said if you add virtue to your faith and that whole little thing, he said if all these are part of your life, you will never stumble. So that means either God's lying or we ain't operating it. That's what it means. That's what it means. But we have the power to cut it off. See, because it's impossible, okay, unless Jesus Christ can do what he says he can do. See, because you could never live out the principles of the Sermon on the Mountain. You could never do it. You ain't never going to love your enemies. Because he goes on and on and on. He just started out with that. But then Jesus goes on, okay, about marriage, about oaths taking us, about going the second mile, about loving your enemies. You ain't never going to. This is Sermon on the Mount. This is teaching that was totally different. And that's what the church needs to understand. We need to get a revelation of the Sermon on the Mount. Because you ain't never going to be able to do it unless Jesus is involved in your life. Never, ever. Our Lord goes to the root of the matter every time and no apology. You think Jesus gave an apology to that woman at the well when he started talking to her? All right, about the kingdom and all that, and about the living water. And then she said, oh, where can I get that water? Jesus knew he done perked their interest, right? But then he dealt with the sin issue. Where's your husband? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I hear you talking, but now, where's your husband? And then when she gave the right answer, that's when he said, okay, come on, girl. But see, we don't want nobody to deal with our issue. We don't want nobody to tell me I'm doing the wrong thing. We don't want nobody to tell me, okay, that this relationship is bad for me. We don't want nobody to tell us anything. But that's what the church is all about. Why be in a church, okay? Or why be a part of a church if you want to continue to do the same thing? Because if you're going to go to hell, you might as well bypass the church and just go straight to hell. Why make everybody else's life miserable, okay, if that's what you want to do? Just like Monopoly, just pass go. You know what I mean? Don't collect $200, just go. But you have to understand it's very silly for us because we have the power. And when you read this, go home and read this Sermon on the Mount. Jesus did not apologize to them Pharisees about anything he said, and he's not going to apologize to anything that's in your life. If you don't like it, he said, I am the Lord and I change it not. So if he ain't going to change, guess who has to change? Guess who has to change? But the thing of it is, we don't like change. We don't like change. But the whole thing of it is, it's all about change. John 15:5, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I am him bears much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. And the reason why most of you can't move past that sin issue or that spot in your life, because you're trying to do it by yourself. You're still trying to use what you know just one more time. Or this time it's going to be different. Trying to look for a better tomorrow in your yesterday. There is no better tomorrow than your yesterday. Your yesterdays are over with. The song that says, Lord, one day at a time, yesterday is gone and tomorrow might never be mine. But Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. You only get one day. You only get seconds. You only get minutes. That's what it's all about. But you got the power to cut it off. See, because anything that hinders your relationship with God, that's what Jesus was talking about. And I know he used that dramatic thing, rip your eye out, cut your foot off and all that. He was talking about anything that's going to get in the middle of you and the Father, or you and me now. Cut it off. Cut it off. Like she said, how bad do you want it? How bad do you really want that relationship with God? The one where every day you can hear his voice. The one where every day that no matter what situation or circumstances, that he's standing right there. I know we always quote that scripture, I'll never leave you or ever forsake you. But do you truly believe that he'll never leave you or ever forsake you? But see, you got the power to cut so many things out of your life. And it really saddens me about the body of Christ. And this is all over, okay? All over. Pastors, preachers, I got friends that have turned back to the world, but I ain't going back. I ain't going back. Why? Because I realized that God gave me the power to cut everything out of my life that was ungodly. And you heard my testimony many and many, many times. I had to do it. And that's what he's saying. You cut it off. You recognize what it is. You pull it out, and then you throw it away. I told you, I ain't to send police. I ain't going to investigate your life. All right? But if I see something and I know it's out of line, then I'm going to be the police and I'm going to arrest you. Okay? Because that's my job as a pastor. All right? And I told you before I let you go to hell, I'd rather you hate me. Before I know you going to hell, I'll be on your door. You never get no rest. Not with me. I'm relentless when it comes to something like that. It'll never happen. All right? It'll never happen if I find out. But every time I see you, before as soon as you just close the door, I'll be, what are you doing in there? Hey, come on up out of there. But you, church, listen. In all seriousness, you have the power to cut off anything that is in your life that is ungodly. You have the power to cut people off. You have the power to cast things out of your life. Be bold in your spirit. Yeah, it feels good. Sin feels good. Yes, it does. I told you, my testimony would never be, thank God you saved me from a miserable life of sin. If that's your testimony, you don't even know how to sin right. I had fun doing what I was doing. Mega fun. That would never be my testimony. Because sin is pleasurable. But listen. Sin is only for a season. Sin is only for a season. That's why the Bible says that there is a way that seems right to the man. But the end of it is death and destruction. See, the devil always leads you down that path that makes it seem right until you get to the end. I'm trying to stop you all from getting to the end and let you know that you got the power to cut things out of your life. I don't care if it's pornography, any type of addictions. I don't care what it is. You got the power to cut it out. But the thing of it is, are you going to step up to the plate or are you willing? David said, I acknowledge my transgression. After that fall with Bathsheba, and David said, Lord, have mercy upon me according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. All the things that David knew about God and which you should know about when you make a mistake. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. God's not looking for perfection, okay? Because this is not all gloom and doom. Because if you read verse 48, that's when Jesus said that you, after he goes through all that stuff, that you be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Get to that complete place in God and operate out of that. Cut everything that's out of your life that's distracting you. Cut all the people out of your life that's distracting you. They're going to come back. You know how many family members and how many people that I had to cut off out of my life? But I thank God they came back. I told you about my 86-year-old grandmother. I thank God today for that. She drank. They used to call me, Donald, come get your grandmother. She drunk at the bar. Donald, come get your grandmother. When I got saved in 94, started going to church, the ministry I was at was on TV. I never knew she was watching me. And we always used to go to my grandmother's house. And one Thanksgiving, I went to my grandmother's house. And after we all got done eating, she looked at me and said, listen, I've been watching you for 2 years. I want what you got. See, that's what you got to do. You got to cut everything out of your life that is ungodly. All the hypocrisy that's in your life, cut it out. Take the mask off. Let people know who you are. I'm missing the mark. Brother, help me. I got a problem with pornography. Help me. Sister, I got a problem with lust. Help me. But see, the problem with the body of Christ is we got all this gossip thing going on and nobody wants to cry out. And they're dying in sin. Why? Because we can be confident with our doctors. We can be confident with our lawyers. But we can't be confident with our brothers and sisters. And that's sad indictment on the body of Christ. If the world could trust us with confidentiality, but my brothers and sisters who could pray me through. Well, my brothers and sisters that can help me, keep me accountable each and every day of my life. And I know a lot of you want to be discipled and everything else. That relationship is on you. Don't ask me to make you accountable for something that you can already do. Come to me with something that you can't do, and I'll help you do that. But you got the power to cut everything out of your life that's troubling. Most of the stuff that's in this ministry is petty stuff. Jeremiah said, if you can't contend with the footmen, what you gonna do when the horses and the chariots show up? A lot of the stuff that we go through is footmen stuff. Bad attitudes, you don't want to get in line, all that stuff. Yeah, I'm saying it. That's right. I told you, I don't care if you don't like me. I got a lot of people who like me. It's not about you liking me. God called me to preach the truth. And that's what it's all about. So I want you to examine your life. Everybody just close your eyes right now. Let us stand to our feet. I want you to examine your life. X-ray of God's eyes on you, not the congregation on you, not nobody on you, okay? Because this is between you and God. Because only you know where the stumbling blocks are. Only you know what your eyes is causing you to sin. Only you know what your hands is causing you to sin. Your foot is causing you to sin. But today, God is calling you to step up into a place that you never took before. He said, I created you in my image and in my likeness. I gave you dominion over the works of my hand. That's a place of authority, male and female. And God is saying tonight, step up into that place. You know the area that has to be dealt with. You know the area of sin in your life. And it's up to you to step up to this plate.